message you're about listening to is a sermon by Bishop George Adjiman, the General Overseer of Winners Chapel, Ghana. Be encouraged, inspired, and uplifted as he brings the word of life to your spirit and soul.
Father, we thank you for today. Anoint your word and bless the hearts of every listener in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a message for us that I have titled, Think on These Things. Think on these things. And it's taken from a passage in the book of Philippians and chapter 4, Philippians and chapter 4, verse 8. Now, when we talk about us reaching out, there must be virtues, there must be qualities, there must be certain things with us, within us, that we want to impact onto our neighbor. The choir, I saw one line there, I won't harm you with the words from my mouth. I won't harm you. So we must be careful what we say, we must be careful what we do, we must be careful where we go. Praise the Lord. It says in Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, and he lists six major virtues that should characterize our thought pattern, that should characterize what comes out from our lips. And when we run through these six, we will be extending love, warmth, affection unto God first and unto our neighbor. Praise the Lord. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. That's number one. Number two, whatever things are noble. Number three, whatever things are just. Number four, whatever things are pure. Number five, whatever things are lovely. Number six, whatever things are of good report. If there is any virtue, so these are virtues that must characterize our thoughts and the words that proceed from our lips. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Praise the Lord. The old King James says, think on these things. It is important that as we relate with our God and then with our fellow man, that we do not be hypocritical. Hypocrites. You know who a hypocrite is? What is in his heart is different from what is on his face and on his lips. What you see, what he portrays to you, totally different from what is in the heart. Someone may come to you showing that he is a friend, but inside of you, he's putting on that face so that he can get an opportunity to harm you. And the scripture says we should stay away from that. Amen. The Christian life requests that every word we say, which is a result of every thought we think, we should run them through these filters. and be sure that we are saying what a good Christian is saying. It is important because in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As he thinks in his heart, not as he speaks with his mouth. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Then he continues, "Eat and drink, he says to you." So he is presenting a friendly appearance. Eat and drink, relax, make merry. But his heart is not with you. A very good example of who a hypocrite is. And if we are to extend love to God and to our fellow man, that is one characteristic that should be away, outside of our lives as children of God. Don't be hypocritical. Amen. Speak with your mouth what is in your heart. Speak with your mouth what is in your heart. Amen. And if we must speak and filter the words that proceed from our mouths through the six filters that we have looked at, then we have to really be mindful of the state of our heart. If you are ever going to relate with your neighbor, if you are ever going to love God, then you must be mindful of what is in your heart. Very, very important. I don't know how many of us here will feel very comfortable if God were to put a device on your mind, in your heart, that speaks out. For instance, if I come close to you within some few meters, God designed you in such a way that whatever is going on in your heart, I'll be hearing. So as I come close like this, you may appear to be writing, but you know what is. And then I hear what is going on in your heart. Some young men won't come to church again because they are afraid that if I come close, what are you thinking about? You get the point. Now I can't hear, so you can laugh. But to some people here, Bishop, you in term, finish quick, let me go and talk to my, you see? But you may be sitting down nice. You only know the reason why you came to church. You only know. Now, for me, I see everyone that is God-loving. Everyone that has put everything aside. Everyone that has come to worship his God. But do I know what you are thinking about in your heart? May God grant me that insight. That is, if I come close to you like this, then everything you are thinking is ringing in my ears. You see how life will be? Will you be comfortable? Will you be comfortable? Praise the Lord. All right. But that is what hypocrisy is all about. Your mouth is saying that which is very different from your heart. So on the outside, I will look at you as a friend. as a companion, as someone that I can share with. But when you get close and get close, and you have that, may God, next time God is creating man, maybe from 2020, every child that is born should develop that, that if he comes close to you, he reads your thoughts and reads your mind. I don't know how the world will look like, but how would you fit into that kind of situation? Now, the solution to not being comfortable when a situation like that occurs is for you to have your mind renewed. It's for you to speak the words of life. And don't forget that God is life. God is love. So as you dwell on God, as you dwell on life, as you desist from speaking words that will harm your neighbor, then you won't mind if God reveals your heart to the public. Because what will they hear and what will they see? Life, love, peace, truth, loveliness, the things that promote togetherness, the things that promote life, then you will be living. Praise the Lord. Romans and chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. I beseech you, I implore you, I ask that you pay attention, right? I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God. To have a mind renewal is not something that we can, by our own selves, be able to do. God has to be merciful to us. God has to be gracious to us, because we are learning the virtues of God. And I always say that God is beyond man. If you want to imbibe the virtues and the principles of God, as a man by yourself, you will never be able to do that. That is why he has put in us the Holy Spirit, who teaches us. Man by himself will never be able to love. Because the nature of man is that of selfishness. But God implores us, God beseeches us, God asks that we pay particular attention to the virtues that are from him. That is why I said you can never love man if you are not a lover of God. You can't. Because it is from God that the virtues by which we can relate with our neighbor peacefully, lovely, it is from God that we draw such from. Amen. When I look at the scripture that says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, it makes me see the extent of the love that God has for us. That when there was no form of comeliness in us, when we were not contributing anything to the living and to the goodness of God, he still came and offered himself for us. Is that how we are relating with our neighbor? Even let me talk about marriages, where there is a bond, where there is a legal, social, religious, whatever, spiritual bond. Do you relate with your spouse to the extent that, I don't know what to say, you give yourself. You give yourself to your spouse. Do you prefer your spouse to yourself in all situations? But that is what Christ showed us. So if we want to talk about relating with our neighbor, we have to enter into Christ in order to be able to do that. I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You understand what a sacrifice is? You understand what a sacrifice is? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. Don't talk as the world talks. Don't think as the world thinks. Don't behave as the world would behave. Don't do things as the world would do. Now, what is the world and who is the world? Anyone that does not put a premium on the virtues of God as far as his life is concerned is of the world. So the difference between those that are in the world and those that are not of the world is the exposure and the acceptance of the virtues of God. If you don't practice the virtues of God, it doesn't matter that you are seated in church, you are still of the world. You understand that? That you come to church does not make you not of the world. But when you receive the virtues of God and you live by them, you sacrifice the self and take on the Christ, then you are not of the world. Then you would have presented yourself a living sacrifice unto God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing, making new again. Many of us were born not into Christian homes. Probably we were born into religious homes, but not into Christian homes. Many of us have been brought up with certain virtues. I can tell you one of mine, which is working against me. I'm working hard. I grew up not living with my father and mother, no. Because I was one of them that was shipped to, our young people, it doesn't happen much. My mother is there, he will look after my children for me. I hope there are people here not doing that. But every now and then, you see some of our mummies here. I'm going to America. What are you going to do? My daughter has given birth. I'm going to look after her. So what is the daughter doing? Oh, my mother is there to look after the child. In fact, Some of them, they ship their children from abroad to this place. I was brought up like that. So it was my grandmother that was mothering me. But unfortunately, not only me. Fellow children, let me tell you the secret. My grandfather from my mother's side was well-to-do. So he built a house. And he divided a room each to his children. But there was only one kitchen. All right. But the children, 14 of them, all had their rooms, men and women. The women that their husbands couldn't provide a house for them stayed in their room. Those were the days when women would prepare food from their home and put in a basket. How many of you lived in that kind of... All right, so the woman will carry food in the basket and then he will go and give to the husband who is in one room somewhere that the woman will feel comfortable to go and stay because he also is staying in the family house. So even though they are married, the man is staying in his house, the woman is staying in her house, but they are married. In the evening, the man will put on powder and then... And since the wife has a room, right? That is the only thing that is personal to the woman. The kitchen is not for her. The courtyard is not for her only. So the man comes and sleeps, and then he goes to his house. In the daytime, the woman cooks from her mother's kitchen and then sends to... Am I the only person that lived in that kind of time? So that is how I was brought up. I was brought up in that kind of environment. So there were about six of us that were my age. All right, six of us. And in those days, these days there are plates and cups and spoons and everywhere. In those days, it was not like that. It was not like that at all. All these places that you go to Malcolm, you find them lined up. It wasn't like that. Even if it was like that, how many shops were there? UTC, Glamour. I don't even know. you get the point. So, six of us, we were eating from one earthen bowl. Apotoyua. Six of us. From my grandmother's kitchen. So you can imagine six boys eating from one plate. You had to develop tactics. I need you to survive. This one, I need to eliminate some people to survive. You see, that was how I was brought up. I needed to eliminate some people. So immediately we start eating. I go for half of the fufu. And it's in my hand. Because so long as it is in your hand, you are safe. So it is in my hand, and then I'll be releasing it in the soup. I was brought up like that. But now I look at the scriptures, and the scriptures talk otherwise, that I should prefer my neighbor more than myself. Hey. In situations like that, that is a very dangerous principle. You get the point. So you grow up with these. Not that, that is how you grew up. Those are the things you have lived with. Those are the things that has kept you alive. So you want to maintain. Then you come to Christ and he says, make your mind new again. Those things are, of course, that is an expression of selfishness. Don't you think so? When there is one mound of fufu and then you go and take half in your hand.
And then everybody will see that the thing is in your hand, though. But they can't eat from your hand. They will eat from the bowl. All right? And if it is finished, it is finished. Then you will have plenty in your hand. Selfishness. That is how we were brought up. And that time, I never saw anything wrong with it. I saw survival. I saw living. If you want to live, if you want to eat, that is the way to go. Why are you laughing at me? I think you have a story similar to what I'm saying. All right? Now the Bible comes and tells us you have to renew. You have to make your mind new. You have to put the old away. Behold, the old things, what does he say? The old things are past and everything has become new. Today, I don't have that opportunity again. People come to my house and everybody has a plate. And we dish into everybody's plate. So what are you doing? But I have become used to holding that thing and then eating very fast. Because the faster you eat, the better. So now my dietitians all tell me, eat slowly. Eat slowly. I say, it is not in my blood. It is not in my blood to eat slowly. No. No. I give so much credit to my wife. When she puts food on the table, then she will go and take a book so that she can eat slowly. So she eats small, then she reads small, eats small. There have been several times we have sat together to start eating. By the time she is taking the second spoon, I'm washing my hand. That's how I was brought up. So eventually, we stopped eating together. What is the point? What is the point? You want to frustrate me? How? Okay, praise God. Enough of myself. But you get the point. Now the Bible says you have to make new again. Go off the selfish ways. And thank God we live in an improved society that we can do this. Now I will never hustle over food with anyone. Amen. There are so many things I have grown up with in my marriage. I'm finding it very difficult. My wife will finish cooking and then she goes to take plate and all those. She wants to put them and then carry the plate to the dining table and then I dish the food from the plate into my own plate. Why? So while she's standing by the stove there, I put my plate. Oh yeah. Problems everywhere. You think I don't have problems? As late as last week, she was cutting some fruits for me. And then she put a bowl. And she was stuffing the thing into the bowl. And carried the bowl to the dining table. And then put plate beside it. I said, let me save you trouble. As you are cutting, just cutting to my plate. It's all upbringing. I'm sure you have your own. That scripture has come directly against like that. And it takes grace. It takes mercy. It takes God. What I thought was a means of survival is now a means of selfishness. I must be unselfish. I must be able to see my fellow neighbor satisfied. It's even sounding something in my, as bishop as I am. Because when I cast my mind back to those days, how could I have done that? We were going to church. In fact, I was a little catechist in the morning services. My grandfather would wake up, Georgie, let's go to church. And then I'll go, you know, the Roman Catholics, they have the written. My grandfather couldn't read, so we go. And then I read through the service, the sermon. I read through the service. So I was the leader, young as a young boy. So that's how I was brought up. But look at how I was living. Many of us grew up like that, and now we are told, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and what is acceptable and what is the perfect will of God. It's a new life. It's not an easy life. It is a life that requires the grace. It's a life that requires God Himself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It is from this background that I want to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 again. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is true. How do you even know what is true if the Spirit of God is not in you? Before you open your mouth, are you saying the truth? Truth from the perspective of scriptures. Truth from your conscience. But how reliable is your conscience? If I have an opportunity to eat with four people in a plate today, won't my old behavior appear? If it won't appear by it, because then it will, if we are eating rice from one bowl, how fast do you go with the spoon? Just because you are eating from one source. That time they don't chew rice. What do they do? Straight. Okay. Whatever is true, this makes you want to think about anything that is not honest, anything that is dishonest, anything that is untrue, anything that is unreliable. Avoid such. Before you communicate, before you relate with your neighbor, make sure that whatever you are saying, don't forget, as a man thinks in his heart, that is how he is, and of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, all right? So don't speak dishonesty. Don't speak unreliable language. When you have resolved that, then you come to the second. Whatever is noble. Noble means honorable, worthy of reverence. The words you speak to your spouse, the words you speak to your neighbor, are they honorable? Are they worthy of reverence? To revere. To revere means to literally bow to another person. Just like we bow to the king. You get the point? There are some people here, when they are talking, and I, me human being, by reason of my being a bishop, when I appear, language changes. There are some meetings I have had with my pastors. If I am there, orderliness, no side talk. When I go away from my office to where they are, I can hear. So they give me the reverence. You understand? In the language with your neighbor, is that how you talk? Any language that starts with hey. And Ghanaians, we are so, I don't know whether it's accounts only or everybody. Hey! The moment you say hey, you say my subject, a lower a person, an inferior person, I can command. I think hey is a command. All right? I can command. Do you talk like that? Is that how you talk to your husband? Is that how you talk to your wife? Noble refers to that which is majestic and awe, A-W-E, awe-inspiring. That, ha, this person has spoken to me, ha. This person has shaken hands with me. I have seen one or two occasions where I shook hands with somebody, say, I won't wash my hand for 7 days. Why? Because Bishop has shaken my hand. They see the representation of God. Awe-inspiring. And that is the level God wants you to deal with your neighbor. Not this chale chale ha now. Chale ha now, yeah. Whatever is noble. These are the kind of dispositions that we must have when we are talking to our neighbor, particularly when you are talking to an elder. There is a way you talk, all right? When we were growing up, I don't know whether that custom is still there. When we were growing up, they told us, when you are talking to an elder, put your hands at your back. Do they still do that? No, they'll be holding phone to be checking Instagram. you get the point. So there is the presence of nobility in the way you talk. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Number three, whatever is just. Whatever is just. Whatever is right. Whatever is just simply means that which is in conformity to the standards of God. God is a God of justice. God is just. God is right. So in your dealing with your fellow man, make sure you communicate that which is just. Don't communicate that which is right in your own eyes. In fact, if you don't know God, you can't relate properly with your neighbor. You must say the things that from God's perspective are right. So you must know the perspective of God. Don't say the things that are right in the eyes of other people. No. They are not the standard. But many of us do things by reason of the surrounding persons surrounding us, what they say, how they behave, how they think, then we also follow. No. If you want to relate with your neighbor as you relate with your God, do the things that are just. Whatever is just, the scripture says. Praise the Lord. Number four, whatever is pure, whatever is pure. What does purity mean? That which is pure is not defiled. You understand? It's not contaminated. It's not reduced in quality. That which is pure is clean. It is holy. That which is pure. So mind the words that proceed from your lips. You can imagine if you are going to make one statement, you have to pass them through all these six filters. In fact, there are some people here that won't say one word in 3 months. If God, okay, what do you want to say? And then they put it in the first cup. And if it doesn't dissolve, they say, okay, you have passed. And then they put it in the second. But there are some people, by the time you go first cup, what you said has disappeared. So we should learn to talk less. I think, look, in order to pass this, learn to talk less and think about what you say. Is it pure? That which is not defiled, that which is clean, that which is holy, morally, spiritually, physically. Is your thought life clean? Do you think right? Do you think clean? Do you think holy? Number five, whatever is lovely. We are trying to talk about love, and they are using the word love again. Whatever is lovely. Let me pause here and think of what lovely means. The statement you want to make to your neighbor, is it lovely? Does it convey the love of God in your heart to the other person? By what you are saying, by what you are communicating, are you expressing God in you to the other person? So even in your everyday conversation, you can't be evangelizing by the words that proceed from your lips. Does your words attract holiness? Do you encourage? Do you breathe? As you are in the midst of people, or you are with one person, does he sense within him that there is an aura of the presence of God around you? that what you are saying is noble, what you are saying is pure, whatever you are saying is right. Do you inspire that awe? Do they think that, wow, I have an opportunity to talk to a person like this? All right? That is how we must do one to another. Then we will see the glory of God come. Praise the Lord. Number six, is it of good report? Is it something that attracts admiration? Whatever is of good report, is it worthy of study? Can I go and do as you did? Can I even take what you have said and think about it? Or it is cheap talk. Don't mind what he's saying. It doesn't hold water. I think that's how we... There is nothing to be admired. By this, you should be a person that talks positively. I think I can put it that way. Let every statement that proceeds from your lips be a statement of positivity. Don't talk negative. Don't talk negative. I have a testimony of a young lady. We were in church together. This is back in Nigeria. And then she gained admission to university. That time I was working in the bank. One day I had an opportunity to go to the city where she goes to school. We were all in the youth group. And then when she came, within 3-4 minutes that we talked, the little phrase, I am doomed, came out. And I said, hey, her name was Ruth. I said, Ruth, what is making you doomed? I said, oh, never mind. It is she and her friends, that is the slang, something they use. I'm doomed. I said, on this planet Earth, as a Christian, is that a funny, the prophet is saying? That is what they talk among themselves. It's not, if you are in their group, then you are doomed. So she was now telling me, any small thing she interjects with, I am doomed. I said, I don't think you will go far. If this is the language that is proceeding from your lips, not once a day, probably 20 times a day, probably 50 times a day, because any small thing, I'm doomed. It is interwoven through their language, their speech. I say, my sister, it won't go well for you. She was beautiful, but she was too young for me to marry. So I treated her as a junior sister. I said, no. Do you know what happened? I wasn't in the same city where she was in the school, so that opportunity I had to go around, I didn't see her again. At the end of year one, Ruth was impregnated by somebody. And the father was a pillar of the church where we were. President of men's fellowship. I mean, if you are talking of nobility, he is one of them. He carries himself like that. He talks like that. He does his business like that. Unfortunately, he had a daughter that was doomed. So at the end of year one, Ruth became pregnant. And when the father heard, the father said, what will I do? you have to marry him. So year one, this girl married. To who? Someone that was equally doomed, because it's the only doomers that doom. The schooling, everything became bazaar. Of course, I don't know the end of the story. But why? What you are saying, is it admirable? There are some people, when they speak to you, it cuts the heart. In fact, some people boast of, wanoya. Metro said, manoya, sing. What's the meaning? Is your mouth bitter? I will show you that my mouth is bitter. No, hey, yeah. Is your mouth painful? You see, so some people speak things that promote pain. Now, no, yeah, Papa. When he speaks, nothing good comes out but pain. Pain, emotional pain, physical pain, traumatic pain, and all. Oh, yeah. I wish they would serve us communion this morning so that we touch our tongues. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whatsoever things that are noble, that are of a good report. This means that you must edit your words so that you delete the non-admirable things from your vocabulary. Learn to see right and speak right. If you do that, you will be promoting your relationship with your God and your relationship with your fellow man. Praise the Lord. Finally, Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature. So we should move away from being childish. We should move away from saying things just anyhow. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Which mind? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will show himself to you. May that be your experience. As we mature in life, may we be guided by the virtues expounded in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And may we mature in our God, bearing fruit that is admirable, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon by Bishop George Adjiman. We hope you have been blessed. To get more of this podcast, log on to our website, www.winnersghana.org. You can also follow his handle at Bishop George Adjiman on Facebook. God richly bless you.